All right. The big weekend. Oh my goodness. College students, you will not want to miss it. I think you can sign up back there at our tent back there as well if you haven't signed up already. I will guarantee you it will change your life. I had the privilege of being the campus pastor here for, I don't know, forever. And then forever ended, and then we started a new millennium, and then Joe took over. But I love college students. I love young people. I consider myself a college student because I consider myself young. I'm not old yet. When I turn 90, 95, 100, maybe I'll be old. But I enjoy kids. I just love fun stuff. I live for adventure. And I'll tell you this. You go to that big weekend, it will be the adventure of your life. I believe in it so much that if you go to that weekend and it wasn't one of the best weekends you had in your life, I will refund your money back. We'll give you your money back. It's a money back guarantee. Because it will. It will be life transformational. I believe it very, very much. I tell people, hey, just give me 1 year. Give me 1 year of your life. Give me 1 year. Get involved and do stuff. And I will guarantee you that at the end of that year, you will look back and won't believe how much you have grown. I have so many letters from people and kids who have written me back at the end of that first year and said, you were right, man. You were right with what you said. I can't believe how much in the Lord and my relationship with God has grown, when a lot of times what school does, or college especially, seems to zap out the love of Christ in people. Well, we're in the middle of a series. We're talking about Jesus is. It comes from Mark 8:29 when Jesus said to his disciples, "Who do you say that I am? Who am I to you? And who am I to you today?" What is that fresh relationship today in who you think that I am? And we all need to answer that question. We need to answer it every day. And we're going to answer it that day when we go into this world beyond. He's going to ask, "Who do you say that I am? You're the Savior of the world. You paid for my sins." Those are the things that are going to get us into heaven. But I want to talk about, who do we say that he is? Who do you say that he is? What does the Bible say that he is? We talked about how Jesus is, he's the Word, he's the Creator, he's life, he's light, he's grace, he's truth, he's salvation, he's our High Priest. Last week we said he's our Advocate. And then we found out, not only do we have an Advocate, we have a adversary. Everybody say adversary. We have an Advocate and an adversary, one who wants to help us and grow us and change us and be involved in us and love us. We also have an adversary who wants to destroy us. And he'll do whatever he can to destroy you. We talked about the Tootsie Pop deal. I never got to ask, how many licks did it take people to get to the center? How many? How many was over 100 that tried the test? How about 200? How about 300? 4? 5? 600? 700? 800? 900? Who had the most? Who had over 1,000? Anybody over 1,000? How many licks? Judah, how many licks did it take you to do that? You got halfway and it was 2,000? Halfway, you must have small licks. Did you bite it at the end then? Okay. I was talking to Mia. I said, "Mia, how many did it take?" And she goes, "I got to 400 and something and then I just bit it." Mia? We talked about how to beat the devil, to be sober, be vigilant, be awake, watch, resist him, and be steadfast in your faith. And you can always get any of those messages on our app, or you can go online at Living Faith Fellowship, and you can get any of that material there as well. I want to talk this morning. We're going to stand, and we're going to read our scripture this morning. If you wouldn't mind standing as respect for the word, we're going to talk about John 15:1-5. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. You may be seated. We're talking about the true vine this morning. This is the seventh of the I Am statements that Jesus makes in John's Gospel. We haven't gone through all of these, but he makes seven of them in John's Gospel. The first one, he says, I am the bread of life. We've talked about that. I am the light of the world. We've talked about that. He also talks about, I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection, the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I am the true vine here in John 15. And I want to take a moment and talk about him being this true vine. We look at pictures of a vineyard. We see the idea of fruitfulness. And God has a lot of illustrations about him being a farmer or a vine dresser or dealing with wheat. Because it was the things that were happening in the day. It was what sustained the people. So let's break down this as we go through here. Let's start in verse 1. Jesus says, I am the true vine. I thought it was interesting. He didn't just say, I'm the vine. He said, I'm the true vine, the real vine. He's the first character in the story. And he likes using analogies and metaphors about himself. Bread, light, door, shepherd, vine. He's talking about trying to get them to relate, to understand who he is. And he's trying to use illustrations of the day. He's the true vine, though. He's the right one to be connected in. It implies that there must be another vine, right? He's the true vine. There must be some sort of other thing that we could connect ourselves to, that maybe it's not true. It's not right. It's not good. It's not beneficial. It's false or it's wrong. There are all sorts of things out there to get you to get connected to that will not cause your life to grow spiritually. If in fact it will suck the life out of you and cause damage, I think, not only to your spiritual life, but to your physical life and the rest of the life as well. He's the vine. He's the vine. And he goes on to say, and my father is the vine dresser. My father is the vine dresser. Second character in this analogy, in this metaphor, the farmer, vine dresser. That word in the Greek, it talks about one who works with the soil, or a farmer, a farmer. God's a hands-on type of person. I love this. He's a farmer. He gets his hands dirty. He gets his hands in the soil. The one thing I love about God is he's not some distant God way far away sending us a message and saying, hey, connect with me years down the line. I'm going to be disinterested and disinvolved in your life. He's not that at all. He's active. He's involved. He loves you. He cares about you. He dotes on you. He knows the number of hairs that are on your head and how many you brushed out this morning or went down the drain in the shower. He knows you. He cares about you. And he wants you to know he thinks about everything that you're going through. So when you're going through something, he understands. He's there with you. He's not distant. He's close. And then we get to verse 2. Every branch in me. Every branch in me. We're going to get to the third character in this story, which is, we found out in verse 5, is actually us. It's actually us. He is divine. We are the branches, right? He is divine. And we is the branches. Talking to Ellis, and he said, you know, there was this guy, and he and his wife, they had twin babies, a boy and a girl, and they were twins. And so the father asked his brother and says, hey, what should I name them? We haven't come up with a name yet. We didn't know we're going to have two. We got two now. What are we going to name them? And his brother says, well, maybe name the girl Denise. He goes, Denise, that's awesome. Let's name her Denise. That's wonderful. Well, what should we name the boy? And he says, how about the nephew? So I just... God is divine. He is divine. And we are the branches. We are the branches. We are the branches. Branches are not everybody. In this analogy, in this story, it's not like branches are the people and God is the vine. It's no, branches are people who know the vine. Branches, if you will, are his disciples in this story. It's not a saved versus unsaved people in this story. It's for all practical purposes, the branches represent saved people, Jesus' followers. If we're talking about saved, not other people don't know anything about Jesus. So as we get through this story, I want you to understand he's talking about us. He's talking about all of us here in this room. He's not talking about people out there that don't know him at all. He's talking about Jesus' followers. This story is about how Jesus develops and grows Christians. How does he develop you? How does he grow you to your full potential? Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, these are Christians, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he, say it with me, takes away. He gets rid of. He gets rid of them. Most often the reason is because the branch is dead or it's diseased. It's not growing any fruit, right? So he's cutting out some stuff out of your life. He's cutting out some of the dead things in your life. I'm not saying that he's cutting you all the way out. I'm just saying he's cutting some of the aspects of your life that are not fruitful, that aren't producing anything, that are diseased or that are destroying you. He cuts away dead wood. He cuts away dead wood. Jesus is trying to cut out of your life, Christian, dead, worthless, destructive things. He's trying to get them out. He wants to cut out all of the junk in your life that is not helpful, but is in fact hurtful to your Christian walk, and he wants to take it away. He comes to cut it out. Now, I have, hopefully Curtis has helped me here. Does everybody know what this is here? It's a chainsaw. Jesus comes to cut out some things in your life. Do I have any volunteers who would like some things cut out of their life? Well, we do. We have some gift cards for you. What would you like to lose? He's coming to cut some things out of your life. Now, I know that we're not all excited. I'm just going to leave that there. Thank you. Now, here's how you dwell with your wife according to knowledge. She didn't know I was going to do that. Curtis asked me, he said, does your wife know you're going to do this? I go, no, she does not know. Are you going to tell her? I go, no, I am not going to tell her. But I did know one thing. You notice how he stayed up here, did not walk toward the audience. I did that for you, honey. I was coming out there after him. There were some people. I was going to see how gutsy they would have gotten with, hey, I want to, and see how much really wanting to get a gift card would have allowed them. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. He cuts out dead stuff. I can smell that. Sorry. Somebody opened up some doors back there. He cuts stuff out of us. Now, again, if I came down there with this and I started to cut some things out of your life, I don't think anybody would actually allow me to cut them anything out of their life, right? I would make a mess of it. But there's some other people who can do some great things with a chainsaw. Look at this. This is Bob King. He's a chainsaw sculptor. Cut stuff out, and he gets the junk out of there, and then what's left behind. Something beautiful. I can't even print that nice with a pen and a ruler. And he's doing it with a chainsaw. Look at some of his stuff. Look at some of the work he's done with a chainsaw. Do you have some of those pictures up there? He's done, look at this. An eagle. What else has he done? Some of the other pictures up there. Look at that picture on the left. He did that with a chainsaw. He did that with a chainsaw. I started thinking, man, in my hands, the cutting does not look that pretty. It does not look that pretty at all. But in Bob King's hand, it's a beautiful work of art. But let me tell you what, put it in the hands of God, it becomes a masterpiece. It becomes a masterpiece. Although we're a little nervous about all the noise. We're a little nervous about all the action. We're a little nervous about all the chips that start flying. Because you're cutting too much. Lord, don't do that. This idea is explained further in Matthew's gospel in Matthew 5, 27-30. He says, you have heard it said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, what should you do? Pluck it out. Oh, that seems like the right thing to do, huh? And cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Ditto, do the same thing. Now, these are pretty powerful scriptures here. Pretty strong scriptures. And I want to just talk with them for a moment. Because there's a principle here, and I call it the principle of radical amputation. The principle of radical amputation. Listen to me. Let me say it this way. Hopefully they've got it up there. Rather than play with sin, entertain sin, negotiate with sin, try to manage sin, leave space for sin, we should act like this is war and sin is the enemy, because this is war and sin is the enemy. And we need to get rid of it. We need to let it go. You know, we live in a society of tolerance. We're supposed to tolerate everything. We're supposed to tolerate everything. And I don't think that that's correct as a Christian. There's things in our life we're not supposed to tolerate. We're saying, no, this isn't good. I don't want this. And we need to be loving and caring and all of that stuff to the world out there. But there's things in our life we need to just... we just need to get rid of. We need to get rid of it. As I was looking through some things, I think this section over here probably doesn't remember, but a lot of you over here remember the mountain climber, Aaron Ralston. He was hiking alone in Utah Canyon, in one of those canyons, those tight canyons, in April of 2003, when his right arm became pinned beneath an 800-pound boulder. After being trapped for 5.5 days, he broke his arm, and then he used a dull pocket knife to cut off his arm. He then rappelled nearly 70 feet and hiked 3 hours before he was rescued by a helicopter. He detailed his struggles in a book, Between a Rock and a Hard Place. I thought that is a real appropriate title, right? Everybody says, I'm between a rock and a hard place. You don't know what it's like to be between a rock and a hard place. Which was adapted into an Oscar-nominated movie, 127 Hours. It was a matter of life or death. Radical amputation. Radical amputation. See some pictures up here of him, and where he just cut off his arm. He cut off his arm. Because he knew it was a matter of life and death. Now, let me say this. Does God want you to pluck out your eye or to cut off your right hand? No, he wants you to cut off your left hand. No, no, he doesn't want you to cut off any hand. All right? No, no, no. Let me say it. Everybody say it with me. Does God want you to pluck out your eye or cut off your hand? Everybody says, no. No, no. It's hyperbole. He wants us to understand, though, how serious and proactive we should get towards getting rid of sin in our life. He's just saying, hey, it's not just a thing to tolerate. It's a big issue. It's a big deal. And notice this, that when we come, and let me tell you what, as a Christian, when he's going to radically amputate something, we see that and we go, uh-oh, I am nervous now. We hear the chainsaw lighten up and we hear that sound going and we just see all the destruction that God is going to do in our life. If he cuts this besetting sin, this big problem in our life, if he cuts it out, it's going to be horrific. It's going to be scary. And what he's saying, what I hope you understand is, he's a master with that. He's a master with that. And what he does is when he cuts some stuff out of your life, he'll leave something beautiful and awesome and wonderful behind, because he's a master at what he does. You just have to trust him. You just have to believe him. You see, I think the counsel of Scripture about sin can be summarized in starve it, run from it, amputate it. Starve sin, run from sin, like Joseph did, amputate it. Get serious about it. So he's talking about this radical amputation, this first one, this getting rid of non-fruitful. There's no fruit. There's nothing on it. It's simply dead weight holding you down, drowning you. Cut it off. Let him cut it off. Secondly, and that was every branch. He didn't say some branches that aren't bearing fruit. He said every branch that does not bear fruit. Now here's the lovely one that we're all going to enjoy. And every branch, how many branches is that? All of them. And every branch that bears fruit. That's fruitful and good and wonderful and righteous and awesome and woohoo! What does he do to them? He prunes them! Owie. He prunes. That it may bear more fruit. It's like he comes with the loppers and he's pruning. He's got his pruning shears. And he comes out. Who now wants to? You still want it, right? You're scaring me. Scaring me over there. God comes. What was your name again?
Katie.
Katie, when God comes, here, can you sit over here for a second, Katie? Since you're really, really wanting this over here?
I didn't know I'd have to move for it.
Oh, sometimes you, in order to get a gift card, you got to do stuff. What was your name again? I forgot.
Ken.
And?
Donna,
yes, thanks for being here again. Just turn the other way. Just don't look. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Now, when God comes to prune us, when he comes to prune us, now you're looking, now we all get it, don't we? It's dead wood. It needs to be radically amputated. The chips can fly all over. Yes, it'll be a good thing. I need to get this junk out of my life. But what happens when it's good? It's wonderful. It's awesome. It's righteous. Everybody goes, mmm. And the Lord comes and goes, ah. He's being a helpful parent. Yes, this is hurting more than it's hurting you. That's what every parent says, right? This hurts me more than it hurts you. But it's good. It's awesome. It's wonderful. It's beneficial. And he comes. It's bearing fruit. And what does he do? He comes and you're yelling, no, 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 but it's good. It's good. And God goes, I know it's good, but it can be better. It can be best. Ah! Just. And then there comes another thing and you're going, no, no, this is good. It just, and we look at God and go, what are you doing? Why are you cutting these things in my life? Why is this happening, Lord? I have to say that these loppers here came from Steve Stone over there. One of the prophets, he's a prophet in this house. Man, I respect highly. And you know, when he gave me these loppers, it was a very difficult time in my life, Carrie's life. We were going through a very difficult time just in life in general. And I was just, wow, Lord. And Steve comes to me and he gives me these. And I go, okay, what did you give them to me for? I wanted to give them to you because I feel like I have a word for you. And the word was God's going to cut some things off. It may be good. It may be okay. But he's going to come and he's going to cut some things and you're not going to understand what he's cutting and what he's cutting off. And it's good. But the reason he's doing it is because there's something better. It's because there's something best. When you look at God in the life of a Christian and you're wondering, what are you doing? God always works towards maximum potential in your life. You're going, Lord, I just want to make it into heaven. That's it, man. I just want to slide in, you know, just kind of slide in there, get into heaven. I just want to be there, and I don't want to go to hell. When you say, Lord, I want to be a Christian, He brings the loppers. Okay, we understand the chainsaw. Okay, that's really bad. Yeah, get rid of it. But we don't understand the loppers. We don't understand why He's taking things that I thought were okay, that I thought were good, that I thought made sense to me, and now you're doing something painful in my life. You're cutting some things out. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a this. Maybe I don't know. And we feel this cutting. It's because He has something better. Let me say this. God is not a sadistic God in heaven going, oh, put your hand out there. Yeah, put your foot out there. Put it all out there. He's not doing that. Our resident police officer said, that's assault three. I that was just simply attempted assault three. That was not done. I want to go on the record here. Loppers. You're in the vine. He cut away dead stuff. Okay. And now He's cutting some fruit. Because He's looking for some more. You see, God carefully and purposefully and calculatingly, and whatever lees else you can make, take some of the good along with the bad and the ugly to make it something that's better on the road to something that's best. I can't tell you how many times in my life I have complained about this. I don't know about you, but I seem to complain when it gets the loppers out because I just don't really want it. I really sometimes just don't understand it. And that's what He says. Trust me. I'm sure Job, in the midst of his trial and tribulation, looked at God and was just so confused. Why did You do all this, Lord? And yet, I love the scripture that says, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. Man, He took everything from me. Now He's taking my health. But He said, though He slay me, He can kill me. But I trust Him. Do we have that kind of relationship with the Lord? Lord, I don't care what You do. You can take this from me. You can do that. You can pull that. Lord, I just trust You. I trust You with my life. I trust You. I believe. Have Your way. Start up the saw. Let the loppers fly. Pruning. Pruning is hopeful, not harmful. It's not intended to harm you. It may hurt. It may be hurtful, but it's intended to be helpful. You're going to go through all those emotions. Ooh, ouch. Ooh, what? And the whole process. Now, let me recap just a moment here. Number one, we said every, all, no exceptions, non-fruit-bearing branch, He cuts off. You got it? Number two, every, all, with no exceptions, every, all, Christian, all, every fruit-bearing branch, every fruit-bearing, luscious, wonderful fruit-bearing branch, He prunes. And number three, there is not a third option to do nothing. There is no number three. We all want number three, don't we? Lord, I'm fine right now. Everything's good. I love You. I love my family. I love my job. Everything. I love it all. I love it all. I love it all. I love it all. Now, let me say this. We shouldn't be afraid of Him. But I think sometimes we go, God, just leave me alone. Leave me alone. Go prune somebody else. Go prune Bob. Bob needs to be pruned. Bob. Prune him, man. Gosh, all the stuff he does, you can see all that. He needs pruning. Now me, I get along with everybody. I'm doing fine. Everything's great. I don't need any lopping. I don't need any cutting. Go get Bob. Don't we all want God to get Bob? We don't want him to get us. But the problem is, if we all prayed for Bob and all that happened to Bob, Bob would be soaring as a relationship with the Lord. Because we see it as a curse that God moves on us when God sees it as the most beneficial thing that will happen in your life. When the Lord took some stuff out of my life that I was justifying when I was especially a younger Christian, oh my gosh, did it change my life. When He got rid of all sorts of stuff that were holding me back, oh my gosh, did it change my life. You see, every branch gets cut somehow, gets pruned. The word prune means to cleanse. It's a Greek word that means to cleanse. You see, it's a positive word. It provides positive, healthy results from pruning. As a matter of fact, most vineyard dressers, what is he? The vine dresser, yeah. Or people that deal with plants and all that, they know how to cut it all up, and they cut it all up and do all that, and you go, oh! And the next year, wah! Remember Pastor Carl one year cut, where Curtis is living, he's living in his house, and he took all of there's willow trees, beautiful willow trees that Curtis has inside of his house. He took them all down to one little thing and a deal like that sticking there. And we all were very worried about what happened. We wanted to put a vulture and just stick him up there in the tree because that's what it looked like. It looked awful. I thought, you're nuts. And a year later, all this lush. You see, we look at God sometimes and think He's crazy. We don't know till years later down the line what it did for us. And we look back and we thank God for cutting some things out of my life that I thought were just okay. Because you gave me something better. Why? Because He wants us to bear more fruit. Without pruning, there's little growth. With pruning, we have maximal growth. We increase the health of the plant. We do so many positive things when we cut stuff that's good. God's always doing things in your life to make you more fruitful, to get the best and most out of your life, to maximize your growth in Him. You know what? It's really the heart of us here at Living Faith Fellowship. Man, I want to just maximize your growth. I'm not saying that I'm coming with prunes because I don't do any pruning. I'm not the pruner. He is. The issue is, though, that our heart is that we would grow maximally, isn't it? How many hope that in 10 years from now, you're exactly where you are today spiritually? Anybody going, you know, I hope I'm just right at this stage. I hope I is as ignorant as I am in some things. And I just hope, I just want to stay here. This is just a great spot to be. I don't think any of us are saying that, are we? But then what's the other? I want to grow. I really want to grow, Lord. He's going, oh, awesome. I'm waiting for you to hear that. Show me one of your branches. Wait a second. You see, we don't understand it now, the cutting. We don't understand now some of the pain. We're going, I'm a Christian. I know I'm doing something great in your life. Trust me, like Job. And even he faltered some. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. Why did God cut this good thing in my life? I don't know. I don't know. But trust Him. Because He has your best in store. He has your best in store. Remember this too. It's the vine dresser, God, who gets to choose what branch he's going to cut. You don't go, hey, Lord, if I were you, I'd cut this one over here. Cut this one. Cut that one, Lord. The little old branch over here. No, don't take that one. It's a big branch. No. Over here, Lord. You can't guide him on what he's going to cut. He's the vine dresser. He gets to choose what to cut out. You don't. Here's my advice. At least the advice in my own life that I try. Don't hold on to what God is cutting off. Either by radical amputation or by pruning. Don't hold on to what God is cutting off. And I haven't always done that. You know, I want some of it just kind of hanging down, you know, and you've still got that little bark thing, you know, you cut it and it's not off yet. You're going, no, just leave it, Lord, leave it like that. I can still use it. I can still use that. I can still use that branch. It's hanging there. He's going, dude, if it just, it's, you know, it's going to die, don't you? I'll take it later, Lord. Do we trust him? Verse 3, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Verse 4, abide in me. Abide in me. The word abide or remain is a key word in John's theology. It's the word meno, and it occurs 11 times in this chapter alone. And 40 times in his entire gospel. 27 times in his epistle. And it's translated abide, continue, dwell, endure, be present, remain, stand, tarry. But the word meno in the Greek means to stay. Stay, remain, stay. It's like that awesome dog when you tell him to sit and stay and he doesn't move. Sit, stay, bam, just stays there. We have the problem though, when God tells us to stay, and we're supposed to stay and remain, abide in him, we sometimes wander a little bit, right? We see the squirrel. When I was 12, I prayed and asked the Lord to come into my life, but I did not stay. I wandered for a lot of years. I wandered a lot. And you know what? I didn't grow one iota. I just wandered. I didn't stay. I didn't sit. I didn't obey. He said, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. You see, the vine is the source of life for the branches. It provides the water and the nutrients by which the grapes are produced. Without the vine, no fruit would ever result. Branches are utterly dependent upon the vine. Without Christ, of course, you don't have a life, spiritual or physical. Honestly. Without Christ who breathed into us, that allowed us to be born and birthed of water, we wouldn't be here. Without the breath of God spiritually in us, born of water and born of the Spirit, when he breathed the life of Christ inside of us, we became born again. We wouldn't have a life without Christ. Shouldn't we trust him then with that life? Sometimes we want to get in there. I want it. And then we pull ourselves out. For some reason, we think we can actually pull ourselves out of the vine, go back over here and get into the world, do all our stuff over here, and then come back over here and just kind of take a little gum and glue and just put it back on there and go, hey, I'm with y'all. Over time, what happens? It don't look green no more. I don't care how much glue or gum you put on there. It's going to die. It's going to die. It's going to die. Branches that take themselves out of the vine die. I'm the vine. You are the branches. Verse 5. I am the vine. You are the branches. Do you know why he said this? So you don't get confused. You're not the vine and he's the branch. He's the vine. You're the branch. You're not the vine, but the branches that are supposed to be attached to the vine. And what he's saying here is this. I'm the vine, you're the branches. I'm God, you're not. That's news to some of us, I know. He's God and I'm not. Wait a second, don't I have a big say? Depends on how strong a Christian you are. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears, what does it say there? Much fruit. It's interesting because in verse 2, there's a progression that goes on here. In verse 2, it talks about us being fruit-bearing branches. Then it goes on to say that when you're pruned, you produce more fruit. It says that right in the scripture. Thirdly here, this third progression, it says that when you abide and stay in him, you have much fruit. You go from fruit to more fruit to much fruit. There's a progression here. And I said becoming a Christian initializes and starts fruit potential. Pruning enhances the fruit production. And abiding maximizes it. Are we abiding with him? Are we abiding with him? For without me you can do nothing. In the Greek that means not even one. No thing. Nothing. Or nothing that has any value. If anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. That doesn't sound like a nice idea. Branches die when they're not in the vine and they go to the fire. In Matthew 7, it talks about this idea of fruit producing, bearing more fruit. In Matthew 7, it says, you will know them by their fruits. In verse 20, it says, therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. We're looking at fruit, fruit. What kind of fruit are you producing? I tell people all the time, look at relationship. What do you think about this relationship? I go, what kind of fruit is it producing? Well, we're sleeping together. We fight all the time. We're doing this and that. I go, well, that doesn't sound like good fruit. Well, what's this relationship like? Well, you know, we pray together. We seek the Lord. We come to church. We take notes. Take notes. They take notes. No, just kidding. We're growing. Good fruit. I think we're all supposed to judge fruit, right? Is it good or bad fruit? If it's bad fruit, that's not good. If it's good fruit, it's not bad. Now you're getting it. If you abide, stay. Stay in me. And my words abide. Stay in you. Ask what you want, it'll be done for you. That's incredible. If you stay close to the Lord, and number two, stay in the Word, you will open up an avenue for blessing in your life. As we bring this to a close, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples, followers of Jesus. Yep, I say the same thing. God loves fruit, and he's glorified by the fruit that you bear in your life. I understand that the fruit you bear in your life just isn't easy, just isn't automatic, but that you respond, you take action, you move. I just want to encourage you before the Lord, the fruit that you are producing, the Lord takes notice. He takes notice of it, and you bring him glory by the fruit production that happens in your life as you live your life sold out for him. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you that you're awesome, that you're wonderful. Lord, I know the times you've brought the chains on my life, and I look back now, then I was horrified. I thought you were a loving God. Now, years later, I know you were one because those things were killing me. And Lord, I thank you for the pruning that you've done in my life over the 40 years. Because Lord, as I look back, I see that that pruning has developed me, has changed me. Lord, help us all not bemoan what you're doing even though it may be difficult. But Lord, help us to trust you. To trust you like we never have before. That you're an awesome God. That you love us so much. And that we might have fruit. When I think of fruit, I think of your Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, Lord. That's what we want to produce. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith. Lord, we want those in our life. We want to be known by men and women of God when they look at us and see our character. People say, I want to be like that. I want to be like that. Help us, Lord, to be fruitful branches bearing your love to a world that needs to see that there's a God in heaven that cares about them, that loves them, and that's with them. Thank you, Lord. Bless these people now as we go out and live and let the fruit be seen. And allow the Lord his liberty in our life. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you guys.